In my meditations, the thoughts that I find most disturbing at times are those thoughts where I wonder where these thoughts are coming from, how they're manufactured. And it's kind of a thing that I have difficulty breaking out of. It's kind of odd. So I was wondering, just on the mechanics of thinking at the very basis, the very subtlest level of thought, how is that put together? Where does that come from?
There are lots of factories. If one wants to visit it, one has to acquire a pass. And you will get a pass. It won't take very long time. When the whole factory of where the thoughts are manufactured, it will become very clear. If you want to understand just like that, see, we experience certain things. We experience this and this and this, and so many things we experience. And each experience is brought about by the image of this entering through the retina and falling somewhere on the screen of consciousness, screen of mind. Impressions are stored deep within. These impressions are very faint, like seed. The seed contains the whole tree. Like that, the impressions contain the whole experience. Now, if we see some other kind of flower, we are immediately reminded of a beautiful yellow rose. Because the impression of that when enters in the screen of the mind, it happens to locate the impressions of similar nature, some similar nature. And when the outer impression of an experience seeks its similar impression deep within, then the two collide. The impression of the past rooted deep within collides with the new coming on impression. And this collision of the two gives rise to the thought energy. A bubble of thought comes up. And it comes up. Coming up on the conscious thinking level, it is appreciated as a thought, and then it bursts into speech and action outside. So in order to see this phenomena of the starting of a thought, we must have our perception refined to the extent of getting the ability to see the oncoming impression, to realize the the image of this entering, the impulse of this entering into the mind, and we should be able to see the storehouse of all the impressions and see where this collides against the stored impression and see how the energy, thought energy comes up. Have any of you by chance, by any remote chance, experienced some such thing during meditation? It could happen during meditation that you are on the mantra, and mantra, and mantra, and mantra, and mantra. At certain level of fine experience of the mantra, when you find a thought, it could be that you see the impulse of thought entering in. And it could be that you see the impulse of thought entering in and then getting or shaking hands with some stored impression of the past and then coming up as a thought. It could as well be that when you are experiencing the impulse coming from outside, you could refute the impulse. You say no. Then the coming impulse will get shattered into pieces, as if you are shooting another sharp impulse of no, and that dissolves it. It's like, you can imagine it, you press some sawdust and it may form a ball of sawdust, and you throw it on the wall and then every piece gets shattered. Like that, you see an impulse coming from outside. Each impulse has a specific structure to it. Impulse comes and comes and comes. In a very royal pace it comes in it. And if you are favorable to it, yes, you can allow it to come in. And if you don't want it, you say no. It gets shattered like a sawdust ball. Each small constituent, each small dust sprinkles, shatters down. This is how, by gaining the refinement of the perception, it is possible to disallow any kind of thought entering in us. Spontaneous. Only we should be able to perceive that thing coming and then know to it, and that's all. The whole thing is by thought process. Yes or no. There is a sutra, an aphorism of Patanjali. Patanjali, the exponent of yoga. He says, avert the danger that has not yet come. Now this is the principle of yoga. To eliminate the suffering that has not yet reached us. It's on the way. To avert the danger that has not yet come. Stop suffering from coming. And this is the fine ability gained by the practice of yoga. Yoga is union. Transcendental meditation is just a direct means of union. So on this way, on the way to uniting the mind with the inner divine nature, the sense of perception becomes so refined, that it can eliminate any wrong thought that might be entering us in order to maintain our purity and save ourselves from being polluted by the onslaughts of our surroundings. Very spontaneous development of the fine ability of perception. And this is how it is possible to imagine or intellectually conceive. Once we know how the thought becomes very fine and very fine and very fine, in that faint state of thought, faint state of mantra, the thoughts come. It may be that sometimes when the thought is coming, the impulse could be seen, could be perceived, its structure, its speed, the whole shape of it. It could be visualized in that very fine state. We are heading towards all that experience, but we take it easy. We take it easy.
Taking what you said before, that thought arises from experience colliding with similar experience in the mind, does this mean...
Impression,
excuse me. Does this mean that we are born with a whole storehouse of impressions of experience, that then every thought that we have from since we are born comes from that? And is this related then to, you said before, that every form is inherent in the nature of things being created?
Yes. And that is why we see some man born with the knowledge of mathematics is such a bright mathematician. All his fellow students are no good, he is on the top. Some man is born with that faculty of history. Others also teach history, but when he teaches, he is on the top. The faculties, different faculties, determine different people being born with different storehouses of knowledge contained in their mind. Now, when we are talking of the storehouse contained in the mind, see, the universe is so vast, so varied in its nature, it is very difficult to know everything by direct perception. Cosmos extended to how many, they talk in terms of millions of light years for the message to go and come back, millions of light years, that means almost infinite. Such huge, enormous variety of creation, how many things we can know by directly, by dissecting and knowing. Very limited knowledge. That is the reason why when we try to improve our knowledge by experiencing things by dissection and all that, if we want to know about the moon, we go to the moon and try to see, or even through remote control. Now, most superior type of remote control will be that we send our thought and get the picture of it. That's all. Just a thought, and through the thought wave, what the reality of that spot is imprinted here on the screen. This will be the most highly evolved type of remote control. Knowing from where we are. And that is most refined state of perception. We want to find out what is there in the sun. We don't have to look to the sun. Just close the eyes and find out. Reversal of process. And through meditation, what we are doing? We are preparing our machinery to be so sharp as to bring the impulses from anywhere we want to see. And all those impulses, like the videotape impulse, or the television impulse, I just strike against the screen and produce the picture. Like that, it is possible to go to some very fine level of thinking and picture the reality of whatever we want to know in the cosmos. Many of you have, at some moments of meditation, have felt as if I know everything. Not very great in detail, but a flash of this, I know everything. How many have had some such flashes here and there? This means, between our gross state of thinking and transcendental consciousness, there is some such area, the mind staying there has the possibility of fathoming the truth of anything in creation. Only we have to get more grounded on those levels of perception. And this, for this we don't bother, only the whole thing will come by itself. Waking. All the experiences during meditation belong to waking state of consciousness. Waking, waking, waking. Till we have transcended. When we have transcended, then it is pure consciousness, pure awareness. There is no activity possible in the transcendental pure awareness. So this area of experience is in the very near the finest state of waking consciousness. Waking state of consciousness.
Maharishi, when a man reaches cosmic consciousness and is not reborn again, I understand his karma, both good and bad, returns to the nearest relatives. Could you give the details of this and the mechanics of karma?
Mechanics of karma. The very complicated mechanics. Like the computer, you know? Such a complicated system of sorting out. What happens? There is a very well-known law in physics. Reaction is equal to action. Action and reaction are equal. Through every thought and speech and action of ours, we are producing waves of influence. I am talking, you are hearing, something is passing from here to there, as waves, waves. The waves of influence travel through the atmosphere. They are not restricted to any one area. It's true that as far they go, farther they go, their influence becomes less and less and less. But nevertheless, some influence is carried out. So by every word or thought of ours, we are producing waves of influence. And those waves are reaching the entire field of creation. All these Tahoe Lake and the mountains around it and the moon and the clouds and the sun and the Milky Way and all the world that we were talking of, millions of light years far away. Now, how much time an impulse of one word from us will take to reach that area of cosmos which is 10 million light years far away? It will take 10 million light years to reach it, and another 10 million light years to return to us. 20 million light years after we have spoken a word, the karma that we have produced in some part of the cosmos is going to rebound back to us. Every influence that we are projecting in the atmosphere, it is striking somewhere and then returning back to us. It must return back to the doer, to the producer, whosoever has produced it. And it is equal. If I have produced good life-supporting influence on the top of the peak, on the Tahoe Lake, return from there will be the influence of life-supporting nature. Like a ball you throw on the wall and it returns back to you. Now, how it is possible for karma? Karma means action, action. Whatever action we have produced in the air. Now, the actor is here. Now, after 2 days he flies to London. And after 10 days he goes to India. Where will this rebounding be? Will it come to here? Or it will follow him to London or follow to India? One example is given to understand how the karma finds out his doer when it rebounds back after producing influence in the whole of creation. A calf of a cow. You leave a calf and leave a cow in the midst of 100 other cows and take the calf away and leave him that. The calf will eventually find his mother. Just as a calf will find the mother in the midst of 100,000, 10,000 cows, he can't go to anyone but his mother, he'll find him. Like that, the karma, rebounding from different places, finds the doer. It's an unmistakable computer, even though it has to compute the whole thing in cosmos, but then it brings the shot back to the doer, whether the doer is here or there or there or there or there. The doer, whether he is in this body or in another body. Maybe the doer has gone to the body of a cat now. This body is no longer there. The computer will shoot the arrow to the cat. And then, the influence that we produce in our near surroundings rebounds back to us quickly. And the influence that is produced in the far surroundings takes that much longer time to reach us. Very far surroundings in the 10 million light year far away, it will come back in 10 million light year. That means, whatever action, whatever karma we perform now, we have stored for us a possibility of bearing the results of that for millions of years. Such a complicated thing. It's very, very complicated, but very clear. however small, here and there and there and there. Now, the question is, if the man has become cosmic consciousness and there's no possibility of him being present anywhere in the cosmos, anywhere in the relative life, then where will all those shots be directed to? Will be directed to his nearest successor. Whosoever is going to succeed him nearest. His relations, his blood relations, whosoever is nearest, doesn't matter whosoever is nearest. He directed towards that. Like that, if a man has become cosmic consciousness, all the karma that he has performed before becoming cosmic consciousness will keep on coming to him as long as his body is there. If the body goes away, then the successors will overtake. Friends will overtake. Society will overtake. It is said it's a peculiar thing. It is said that the karma of a man in cosmic consciousness or God consciousness, it is so much stored from the past and past and past. In this life he has become cosmic consciousness, but what about the time until he has become cosmic consciousness? And the previous lives and all that. The karma keeps on returning back to 21 generations after him and influences the society or the blood relations for 21 generations. That is the story of karma of cosmic consciousness. There is a proverb, no? Everyone has to take his own cross or some such thing. What is it? Well, everyone has to carry his own cross. This is carrying his own cross. Everyone has to bear his own karma. No one else is going to help.
If it is the residue of karma from the previous manifestation that determines the form through which the unmanifest becomes manifest, where is the karma during the period of absolute unmanifestation? Is it preserved in the nature of the unstable equilibrium of the gunas?
Just that. It is just preserved in the unstable equilibrium of the three gunas. Unstable because they are going to express themselves in the next again. So it's the right analysis.
Another question. Do you have to burn up all your karma before you reach cosmic consciousness?
By reaching cosmic consciousness, all karma gets burnt away. All karma gets burnt away means one rises above the influence of karma. This does not mean that one doesn't have to bear one's karma. It only means that one's status has become so big, enormous, unbounded that all the karma that was done in his small individual status, it doesn't touch him. If someone has taken $10 loan here and $5 loan there and $1,000 loan here, and he becomes a multimillionaire, all the loan, $5,000-$10,000, has to be paid off because it is in the record. But he doesn't feel it. Without his feeling, it's paid off. Because he's so enormously big, huge. Like that, when the awareness is unbounded, cosmic consciousness, then all the karma done in the bounded state of life, when the consciousness was very small and relative, in that unbounded state one doesn't know when the karma gets paid off. But one has to pay off the karma, there's no doubt about it.